And now we arrive at the high watermark of the evening's festivities.
Bringing you the latest happenings across the world of sports, it's Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow.
Let's begin the show by starting it.
This is going to be good.
What's up, America? Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow here all across Sports Map Radio. Coming to you coast to coast and worldwide from our network studios here in Houston, Texas. As we hit midnight on the East Coast and helping you get to your Thursday and other parts of the country as well. Trying to help you get over the hump and towards the weekend here tonight. Still have more to do this evening. Who could be the next face of the NBA? Plus, will Dak Prescott become the first $60 million a year quarterback? And Justin Fields gives his reasoning for unfollowing the Bears on Instagram. Ooh. But do we buy it? Get to that later on this hour as well. Crazy night in college basketball, by the way. Kentucky blew a 15-point lead tonight, loss to LSU on a pretty absurd buzzer beater. Go find the video later if you haven't seen it. And then I've been watching this New Mexico-Colorado State game here in studio on one of our many TVs. This has been a crazy last 2 minutes. Colorado State was down by, I think, as many as 10 here in the second half. This final minute of this game has been wild. It's just been going back and forth, trading baskets. Multiple lead changes here in the final minute. Neither team can get a stop. Just both teams going down, scoring to take the lead. There's 7 seconds left. Colorado State's at the foul line to try to take the lead. After a foul pretty much out at midcourt, was just called against New Mexico to send Colorado State to the line. And New Mexico, they're coached by Richard Pitino. Rick Pitino's kid. Having a good year, too. So, anyways, some crazy games in college basketball again tonight as we get ready for March Madness, which will be coming our way in less than a month. Hey, if you miss anything from the show, you can always go back, find the entire show on demand. Search Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow wherever you listen to your podcast. Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow. To find the entire show on demand. And if your great affiliate does not carry all 3 hours of the show, no problem. You can just head on over to streamsportsmap.com or download our free app, Sports Map Radio, in the App Store, which allows you to listen to the show from anywhere in the world. We're here Monday through Friday night from 10 p.m. Eastern Time to 1 a.m. Eastern Time each week, and appreciate you hanging with us. You can always find me on Twitter at Morrow on the mic, M-A-U-R-O on the mic. And you can always join the conversation as well on the text line, 346-298-1260. On the phones, 1-800-224-2004. And via email as well, sportsmaptonight@gmail.com. So, Jason Tatum did an interview with Malika Andrews. And she asked Jason Tatum who he thought the best player in the league currently is right now in the NBA. And here's what Jason Tatum said to that question.
Who do you think's the best player in the NBA right now?
Myself.
Is that, have you always had that kind of confidence? Because I asked you that question a year ago and you said it was Giannis. So what's given you that confidence?
I got a lot of respect for a lot of guys in the league. Yeah. Giannis for sure. Jokic, obviously, just won Embiid, guys that won MVPs. And the list goes on. The league is in a great place. I truly do believe every time I step on the floor, I'm the best player.
Jason Tatum saying he is the best player. Now, I mentioned this earlier. Whenever guys answer that question, I don't hold it against them because I think it's a lose-lose. If they say they are the best player, then we call them arrogant, cocky. You know, ridiculous, maybe. And if they say, no, I'm not the best player, somebody else is, then we say, oh, that guy lacks confidence. How could he not say he's the best player? So to me, those are like loaded questions. There's never a right answer. No matter what you say, you're probably going to upset somebody. Bucks fans would say, how could Tatum think he's better than Giannis? The arrogance of this guy. All right, so on and so forth. But Tatum also did an interview with The Athletic where when asked about, you know, the next phase of the NBA, he said, it's mine to take. And I find that more interesting because theoretically he is correct. I think there is an opportunity for anybody in the league to take that title of being the face of the NBA in the future, especially once LeBron does retire. But as of now, I don't think it's Jason Tatum. at least not on the surface. He's not a superstar. He's a star, not a superstar. There are very few superstars in all sports. And superstars are obviously the best of the best. And when you're a superstar, I think, number one, you always come through. Doesn't mean you always win, but you can be counted on in the biggest moments. You always knew Jordan was going to bring it in a big game. Even LeBron might not always win, but you know he's going to bring it in a big game. Patrick Mahomes always plays well in a big game. That's what you expect. Tom Brady, right? All these guys. And sure, Brady, Mahomes, they might have a couple games they throw a few interceptions, but rarely do you lose the game because that quarterback, that player is just so off. LeBron shoots 10 of 30 and they get blown out. Right? Like, typically that does not happen. They might not always be at their best, but they're a star enough where, you know, they still bring it on the floor, give their team a chance. And I don't see that from Tatum. I think he's too inconsistent. I don't think he's been good enough overall in the biggest moments. And the Celtics, look, they're the number one seed this year in the East. They have, I think, a 6-game lead on everybody else. They'll have a chance to try to make a run in the postseason, and Tatum can redeem himself in the playoffs. Thinking of Curry, because that's who Jason Tatum and the Celtics lost to in the finals 2 years ago. Tatum said in that same interview, that could be a learning experience. Maybe now they'll be better for that loss in this year's postseason. Here's more of what Tatum said to Malika Andrews in regards to that finals loss 2 years ago.
I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. And maybe I needed to go through that for something. I haven't figured that out yet, but it happened and I've grown from it. I've learned from it.
Jason Tatum talking about that loss in the finals 2 years ago. I think when you talk about the face of the league, that top player in the NBA, I think they have to check at least one of two boxes. They have to be one of two things. Either very unique and what they do, the best at what they do. You know, Dr. J was great in playing above the rim and flying through the air. The crazy dunk from the foul line, that great reverse layup on the baseline. And it was like things you hadn't seen before. And then Magic Johnson changed the point guard position. And Larry Bird, with what he could do, not only as a shooter, but just as a guy where, I mean, he just didn't look the part. Looked unathletic. Was made fun of. I mean, he was called the Hick from French Lick. And was so good, despite all that, so good at what he did on the floor. Sneaky good defender as well. Obviously, he could shoot the lights out. And then you had Michael Jordan, who obviously I think is the best of the best. But the way he could soar through the air as well. And then Shaq with his size and his dominance down low. And LeBron with his athleticism that has not been matched. And Steph Curry, who's been the best shooter that we've ever seen. These are the faces of the league because they were able to do things that we really hadn't seen. They were the best at what they did. I don't think Jason Tatum checks those boxes. Anybody in the league right now that could might be Victor Wembanyama. In just the sense of his size, his athleticism, what he can do at his size, it's like nothing we've seen before. It's what we thought Porzingis would have been and potentially could have been, maybe if not for the injuries. Wembanyama might fit that role, but not Jason Tatum. Or the other area, the other way to get there, and maybe it's a combination, but by winning. And that's the other thing. When you look at the faces of the league, in the 80s, it was Bird and Magic because they were competing for all the championships. In the 90s, obviously, it was Jordan because he was winning all the championships. And then it was kind of Kobe and Shaq after Jordan because they had that three-peat. And then it became LeBron James, even though he wasn't necessarily winning championships early on, at least he was competing. He was getting there. Not only was he great, he was unique, but he was winning enough games to compete for titles. And then Steph Curry would be in that conversation as well, and obviously they're the most recent dynasty. So Jason Tatum still is really young, and the Celtics have been good. They can win a bunch of championships during his career. He still has probably 15 years left, but they have to actually start winning. They haven't won enough in recent years. I mean, they haven't won anything when it comes to championships, but I think they've underachieved in the past handful of postseasons. This year, they should be the heavy favorites in the East. If they start winning championships as soon as this season, that will help Tatum's claim of trying to be that face of the league moving forward. Because otherwise, we've had a lot of good players, good scorers, who did not win and were never considered anything close to the face of the league. Alex English scored more points than anybody in the 1980s, but never made it to the NBA Finals and never gets mentioned as some sort of face of the NBA. Karl Malone scored more points than anybody in the 90s, did not win an NBA Finals. He's not brought up as a face of the league. You have to win. You have to be unique. You have to be really good at what you do. And so when you try to forecast the future, who could be those winners? Who could be that next dynasty? And you look at the two teams that have won most recently, not named Golden State Warriors, and it's the Bucks and it's the Nuggets. And their stars are both international players. And I think for the face of the NBA, at least in this country, it has to be an American-born player. And if that's the case, then it couldn't be a Giannis or a Jokic from those teams. It removes the last three MVP winners. It would exclude Embiid, even though he did come here for college. It would exclude guys like Luka or maybe even Wembanyama, maybe even SGA, technically, who's from Canada. I don't know. And if you move far enough down that list and you then try to find the best American-born player, and if they win some championships, then at that point, maybe by default, it would be Jason Tatum that could be the face of the league. But from what I've seen so far from Jason Tatum, he's not even at superstar status right now, let alone the next face of the NBA. But he certainly hopes to be there. And look, that door is open for somebody in this league to be able to run through in the next few years. Hey, I referenced this Colorado State-New Mexico game. New Mexico almost won at the buzzer. They went coast to coast to get a basket. It was actually an and one to take the lead with 3 seconds left. They were trailing. Inbound to the ball. This guy went right down the floor, got a bucket, and then Colorado State missed a three at the buzzer. Wild game. Random game. You know, not two big-time programs. Probably not on your radar, even if you're a college basketball fan. But we have it on here in studio. What a crazy game that was. That was entertaining. A couple of good games in college basketball tonight, and four ranked teams losing on the road to unranked teams tonight in college basketball, a.k.a. just another night of college hoops. Coming up, will Dak Prescott be the first $60 million a year quarterback? It's Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow.
This is Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow.
Will Dak Prescott become the first $60 million a year quarterback? It's Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow here all across Sports Map Radio. Hey, it's that time of year now where maybe you're getting hit up by all your friends, neighbors, coworkers. It's Girl Scout cookie season. And it's not a bad time of the year, I gotta be honest. Oh, yeah.
I gotta know. What's your favorite?
My favorite, it depends what part of the country you're in, what name it goes by. And the reason why I bring this up is because I actually just bought some the other day. So here in Texas, apparently, they're called the Caramel Delights, I think.
That's the one.
They're the best ones.
That's the one.
Yeah. Some might know them as Samoans, although I don't know if that, maybe they removed that name completely. I don't know if that's considered like non-PC now. But, oh, those are the best Girl Scout cookies.
And I haven't run into any. Like,
you haven't seen the Girl Scouts yet?
No, I haven't run into any.
I went to the grocery store. I just stopped off. It's a short story I'll make probably too long. But I grabbed some Mediterranean food the other day. So I got some hummus. But they didn't give me anything for the hummus. And I didn't realize I was in the car. I said, whatever, I'll go grab some chips. So on the way home, I stopped off at the grocery store. I was just running in trying to make a quick pit stop. Ran in, grabbed some pita chips. I'm out the door. I see the Girl Scout table there on the way out the door. And they said, excuse me, would you be interested in some Girl Scout cookies? And originally I said no, and I kept it moving because, I eat enough sweets already. I didn't need to spend money on Girl Scout cookies. But then I paused, and I kind of felt bad. And I said, well, let me help them out. Let me support a good cause. It could be my good deed. Forget the benefit of getting the cookies that are delicious. Let me help them out. So I said, all right, give me a box of the Caramel Delights, and I'll feel good about myself while also stuffing my face with these delicious cookies. And then I said, do you guys take card? And they said, sure, but they didn't have one of those swiper things that you attach to the phone. So they had to take a photo of my debit card. And I thought, this is a little sketchy. I'm going to get scammed by the Girl Scouts.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
And it was through like the website or an app or something. So they take the photo. And then she said, like, is this an M or an H in your last name? And I said, no, it's an M. And then, you know, she's, okay, what's the zip code? I tell her the zip code. And she got all confused because I'm not originally from here. So the zip code's different than the local zip code in Houston. You know, the zip codes around here start with a 7. Where I'm from originally and where my banking is still connected it doesn't start with a 7. So I told her the numbers. She looks at me like dumbfounded. And she said, no, your zip code.
I like how you didn't drop the number either.
And I'm not giving the number. I mean, you need a lot more information than that to steal my, but still, come on. I'm not giving you any information. So I said, yeah, zip code. I gave her the number again. And she said, no, like your zip code, like where you live. And I, at this point, then I, you ever get questioned when you get questioned about something so basic that you feel like you're the one screwing it up? So then I get confused. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I not giving you my, am I getting confused? Is that not a zip code? Am I supposed to be giving you like an area code? Like a three? I got so confused. Like, am I the one? And there's a mother sitting there. She's no help. She's just sitting there watching, doing who knows what. And there's these three girls at the table. And this one girl's the money manager, but she doesn't know what she's doing either. She's trying to figure it out. I look at her phone. I see the zip code. She already has the 77 typed in. And then I realize, I was telling her, no, I'm not telling you it's 77 and then all these numbers that I'm giving you. Those are just the numbers. I'm not from around here. It's not 77. It's yada, yada, yada from a different state. Anyways, finally they figured it out. It took a while. I had somebody waiting in the car. I was supposed to run in for just pita chips. I get back in the car. They said, what happened? I said, I got sucked in. I had to get some Girl Scout cookies. And that was on Saturday I bought the cookies. They were gone by yesterday. So they made about 48 hours. And I put those bad boys away. Those things are good. You ever put them in the freezer?
Whoa. I never have.
I haven't either, but that's what the mother said.
Huh.
She said, oh, if you're getting the Caramel Delights, you got to put these in the freezer. I said, I've only done the Thin Mints in the freezer. She said, no, you got to put these in the freezer too.
But like I didn't the lemon ones? Like the lemon mints? Or?
No, just the Thin Mints are, they're just covered in chocolate.
I do like those, though, too.
They're good. The lemon ones are good. I don't know if there's a Girl Scout cookie that I dislike, really. They're just not as good as the Samoans. Those are the best ones. The Caramel Delights are the best.
Yeah. I'm a habitual two-box buyer of those. Yeah.
I was trying to be good. I got only one box. As I said, it didn't even make it, you know, two full days, really. I'm trying to be good. I can't keep those in the house. They're just so good.
I'm horrible. I'll get, like, some Caramel Delights and then justify eating them because I'm like, oh, yeah, I got almond milk instead of regular milk this time, right. So it's okay. Yeah.
Why, do you dip them in the milk?
No.
Just have it.
Yeah.
That's like you go through McDonald's drive-thru, but you get the Diet Coke, so it's okay. You know,
exactly.
You get the fries, maybe a couple burgers, a chicken. It's like, yeah, but I got the diet soda, so I'm okay. Or you go to a steakhouse, but you make sure you get asparagus on the side. So at least you had a vegetable mixed in there. Feel better about yourself. But yeah, hey, if you're at the local grocery store, right down the street, Girl Scouts are out there on the weekend, so maybe you'll see them.
What time of day? Because I'm genuinely trying to make it over there.
It was midday.
Okay.
I always eat. All my meals are backed up. I went out to get food for lunch, but I don't eat lunch at the normal hour. It was probably like, you know, somewhere between 2 and 3. I eat dinner late. I eat lunch late. I do everything late because I go to bed late. I get up late. So anyways, so it was like mid-afternoon. They were probably there all day, I'm sure, trying to sell their cookies. And I tried to speed past them, you know. It was almost like put blinders on. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to get suckered in. And then I got suckered in. But you know what? I'm glad I did because those cookies are delicious. So happy Girl Scout cookie season. Not a bad time of year. Hey, we got this report yesterday from Jordan Schultz. And, you know, take it with a grain of salt. He's an NFL insider for, I think, Yahoo Sports. I think it is now. He works for a Bleacher Report. But, you know, Jordan, it's interesting. People always try to, not discredit, but, you know, he's friends with a lot of athletes, agents. So, like a lot of these insiders, you're always a little weary of where they get their information or what they're trying to do with that information, what sort of message you're trying to put out there, maybe benefiting the athletes they know or the agents that they're friendly with. But anyways, Jordan Schultz put out a report that he believes Dak Prescott, with his new contract for the Cowboys, could become the first $60 million a year quarterback, making $60 million a year with a new deal. Sounds ridiculous. Now, Deshaun Watson might not technically make $60 million, but his cap hit this year, what he's going to count against the salary cap, will be over $60 million for the Browns. But in terms of the average annual salary, Dak, with his new deal, could get up to $60 million, highest paid quarterback in the league. Now, again, maybe take it with a grain of salt. Who knows how likely that report truly is? I think it's absurd. Here's Louis Riddick, former NFL front office executive and scout and NFL player, on ESPN talking about Dak Prescott and where he ranks in terms of the quarterbacks that really cause fear for you, the best quarterbacks in the league. Here's what Riddick said on ESPN.
I'll tell you the kind of quarterbacks that they fear. And I love Dak Prescott. Didn't nobody fear in Dak Prescott?
Right.
They fear Josh Allen. They fear Lamar. Burrow. They fear Joe. They fear Joe because of his mind, because they feel as though he can duel with Patrick on the same level. Yeah. They fear Josh because they think Josh is just a freak, and it's hard to really defend. So when he's talking about that kind of stuff, that's just, you're right, that's just good media
stuff.
I can
say Jordan Love.
It really doesn't do anything, though. It's not doing anything.
Lewis Riddick breaking down the quarterbacks, including Dak Prescott. I think it'd be absurd to pay. I know we're kind of moving in that direction where quarterbacks are going to make even more ridiculous money. Eventually, someone's going to get to $60 million, but it shouldn't be Dak Prescott. And I also don't like this idea of whichever quarterback's the next to get paid is just going to be the highest paid, because it doesn't typically work like that in most industries. It doesn't work like that with positions in the NFL other than quarterback. But I think owners, I've been saying this all offseason, you have to be willing to let a guy walk. Don't make that safe move. Be willing to take a chance if that chance is moving on from somebody. Too often we see this. The then Washington Redskins did it with Kirk Cousins for a number of years. And maybe that's why I feel so strongly about this, because then my Minnesota Vikings have been doing this for half a dozen years with Kirk Cousins. And they just keep bringing him back and riding it out and hoping it's going to be different this time, because it's a lot scarier to go back into that quarterback wilderness to try to find somebody better. Because even though you can do a lot better than Dak and Kirk Cousins, sure, you could also do a lot worse. And that's the fear of, like, bottoming out. Of, whoa, what if it doesn't work out? What if we can't find a replacement? Because there are plenty of horror stories. You know, I mean, the Redskins, to their defense, have not been able to really replace Kirk Cousins since then. They thought they had one with Alex Smith. He gets injured. Sam Howell's not the guy. Taylor Heineke was starting playoff games there. They're still looking for that quarterback. They're going to try to draft him this year. So in certain cases, it can be hard. Jerry Jones might be scarred by the time after Troy Aikman, when they thought Quincy Carter would be the guy. And then they had a Chad Hutchinson in there and a Drew Henson, and they had to go to Drew Bledsoe and eventually wandered onto Tony Romo, and that saved them. And maybe he doesn't want to go through that again by moving on from Dak. But you can't be afraid to make that type of change. I always compare it to a relationship. Sometimes people stay in a relationship just because that's easier, especially if you're living with that person and you figure, like, it's actually easier to just try to make this work and stick this out than to have to move out and go find, you know, that can be a scary transition. But sometimes it's what's best for you. A lot of GMs, owners, teams are afraid of making that bold move at quarterback because they're afraid of if things don't work out, as opposed to looking at, well, what if things do work out? What if we do upgrade at the quarterback position? Do not give Dak Prescott $60 million a year. That would be absurd. But at the same time, he also has the Cowboys over a barrel right now with the current situation. Let's talk Justin Fields next.
Sports Map Tonight continues. Here's your host, Luke Morrow.
Justin Fields gave his explanation for why he or how he unfollowed the Chicago Bears on Instagram. But do we actually buy it? Do we believe it? We'll get to that coming up here on Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow, all across Sports Map Radio. I was talking earlier about Anthony Rendon, his comments this week about how, you know, baseball is not a top priority for him and how that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Rendon plays for the LA Angels. His teammate, Nolan Chanuel, I believe is how he says his last name, 22-year-old, he's expected to be the starting first baseman this year for the Angels. He revealed quite the, I guess you call it, workout regimen that he used this offseason to get into shape. He said for 2 days a week, he would not sit down. From the time he woke up to the time he went to bed, he would do it. I don't think they were back-to-back days, but 2 days out of every week. So let's just say, just pick random days, every Tuesday, every Thursday of this offseason, Nolan would stand up every moment of the day from the time he got out of bed till the time he got back into bed. The only exceptions he made was when he would eat. He would sit down to eat. Now, oddly enough, I'm a stand-up eater type of guy. My mother always used to get mad at me growing up, or even now when I go home, because I usually, like, I'm one of those guys, I eat over the sink, or even if it's in a bowl. Like tonight, I didn't sit down. I just stood up in the kitchen after I was done eating, or I should say after I was done cooking. Didn't feel like sitting down. It's just me. I'm not going to set the table for myself. Ate it right out of the bowl, standing in the kitchen. Move on with my life. So that's the one time I would like to stand. But he would sit down for his meals. Otherwise, he would stand up all day long. He said it got really bad starting at 5 p.m. He usually would get ready for bed, go into bed at 10 p.m. when he could lay down and get off his feet. By the way, if I'm going to do this, I'm probably going to bed early just so I have an excuse to get off my feet. If I'm going to have to stay standing up from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, I'm at least getting into bed, quote unquote, going to bed at like 8 o'clock. And then I'm just going to watch TV in bed all night until I actually go to sleep. But he said from 5 to 10, that was the worst part of the day, where it was really, it was torturous to have to continue to stand. He would fill his days running errands, doing baseball activities. He'd walk to the gym because no driving apparently was allowed. You sit down when you drive. He couldn't sit down. So he'd walk everywhere. He would stay on his feet all day. He said he liked to mini golf was his favorite activity to help pass the time during these days. Again, he'd do this 2 days a week where he'd stand all day. Some of his friends would join him for a period of the day in solidarity, like if he went mini golf with his buddies or they went out or whatever, they would refuse to sit down for a little while to help as well. He wouldn't allow himself any time to crouch throughout the day, could not crouch, and he also said he would not lift his legs up with his hands to relieve the significant buildup of lactic acid. That sounds brutal. Also said his family didn't know about it, but people would be shocked by it when they would hear about it. His teammate Ben Joyce said, "It's crazy. I've never heard of it." And actually, the guy who did this, Nolan, said that it was not advised by a fitness professional. So I don't know where he came up with this idea. I can't speak to the results of it. Maybe it was more mental than physical. But that's what he did this offseason. 2 days a week, he would stand all day long. That sounds miserable.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
that's absurd. An incredible attempt.
I know people nowadays, like, it's in vogue to have that standing desk. I know it is bad to sit for long periods of time. And working in radio, I mean, we do sit for long periods of time. You do a three-hour show. I don't get up enough during commercial breaks. But to stand the whole day, that's absurd. How long do you think you could go standing all day before you feel like you have to take a seat?
It's, meh, 12 hours.
Really? You think you could go 12 hours?
Yeah. I used to work in a warehouse. So, oh, you know, that was like 8 right there.
That's got to be tough. At least that keeps you busy. Like, this guy, it's during his off season, so you got to find ways to entertain yourself. You can't just be standing in the living room watching TV.
The no crouching thing is the tough part. Like, you can't even bend your knees a little bit to kind of...
I know. I don't think so. I know he said he can't lift his legs up with his hands. So probably the same idea. Right. No crouching. You can't just give a little bend. I know. Just to break it up a little bit. Get some motion going.
Yeah, if I could crouch, then it'd be... I can do the 12. Probably no... I don't want to say no problem, but... Yeah, the no crouching is, I think, the toughest part.
Wild. 2 days a week, too. So it wasn't just like this was a one-off. Hey, let me see if I could go all day without sitting. It's like, oh, it's Tuesday. It means I can't sit today. Sounds crazy. I mean, he is a first baseman, so there is a lot of just standing around. You have to be on your feet as a baseball player. But then in between innings, you get to go sit down on the bench when your team's batting. So I guess it's not that bad. Let's see. I'm reading the rest of this article. No one would punish him for pulling up a chair. I think we touched on the highlights. He says he feels like his legs have gotten bigger from it. Doing leg workouts, I feel stronger. I feel more enduring. I can do more throughout the day. I feel so much better on my feet than I did last season. If you stand throughout the day, it can't be a bad thing. All right, well, so there you go. So if you're looking to, get into shape or build your leg muscles or something, try that. Try the Nolan Chanul route of standing all day long from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed. And good luck. Sounds miserable. That's why I said the other day, if you're going to spend money, spend it on three things. On bedding, because you spend a third of your day in bed, typically, or close to it, at least a quarter of your day, I would hope. Quarter of your life, therefore. Footwear, because they say shoes are the first thing people notice when you walk into a room. And also, you're on your feet a lot, so you got to be comfortable. I hope Nolan had some good shoes. And then the third thing is experiences, because that's just what's most memorable in life. So hopefully Nolan had some good footwear to be standing up all day.
He had to have his legs elevated the other days out the week, right?
That's true. Do you rest up for those days?
I think so. That's something you got to prep for.
But then I almost feel like, then your legs are almost out of, well, I guess you got to save up the energy. Or, you sharpen them throughout the week. You keep them fresh so they're ready to go.
instead of being lazy on the other days. I don't know. That's got to be tough. I don't really care to try it. Hey, Justin Fields unfollowed the Bears on Instagram. This was a big story this week. This is how things work now in 2024. An athlete unfollows a team on social media. It's a big story. So Justin Fields went on the, I think it's the St. Brown Brothers podcast. He was asked about it. This was released today. Here's Justin Fields' explanation for why he unfollowed the Bears on social media.
What's with the unfollow with the Bears? What's up with that?
Man, bro, I'm glad we're talking about it because why do people take social media so serious? Like?
But, like, why are you unfollowing the Bears?
Like, I still mess with the Bears. This and that. I'm just trying to take a little break. I unfollow the Bears and the NFL, bro. I'm not just trying to have football on my timeline. Mm. Like, I know y'all mess with a girl, EQ, especially you. Just because you don't follow the girl on IG don't mean you're not messing with her.
That's true. You know? That's true. That's facts. That's facts.
Oh, so you're saying you mess with the Bears more now that you unfollowed them?
Man, it's not even like that.
Okay.
It's something that I don't want to see in my timeline. I'm about to go on vacation. I don't want to see no football. And guess what?
Just get away. Get a little away for a little bit.
It's either keep Fields. We want Fields. See the draft, Caleb. So it's like, bruh, man, I'm tired of hearing the talk. I just want it to be over.
I do get that last part. That does have to be tough as an athlete where you have really your whole fan base saying, let's get rid of this guy. Let's go draft Caleb Williams. That is a tough part of being an athlete. I remember when Brad Childress was the head coach of the Vikings, and I hated him as a head coach. But I did empathize when he said, you know, it's tough when my kids open up the newspaper at breakfast every morning and there's articles in the paper about their dad, how he should be fired and how he's a lousy head coach. And I was like, that does strike a chord. But I still think you're a lousy head coach. So, you know, that is the tough part of the sports world. But do we buy this excuse? I don't think so. I do agree with Justin Fields said off the top. Why do people take social media so seriously? I'm with him there, but that's just the culture we're in. I've had relationships in the past where the significant other is not happy about things I'm not posting on social media. They want more exposure. So I do get that aspect. You know, if you're living your real life, who cares about social media when you're doing things in the real world? But you don't need to unfollow the Bears. You could just mute an account, and then you won't see any of their postings without unfollowing them, without turning it into a story. And Justin Fields has to know this is going to become a story in 2024. Plus, he's still following, like, football players, and I think maybe even some other teams. So it's not like he completely blocked or unfollowed all football content on his Instagram. And I would also say, if you're going on vacation and you don't want to see this stuff, okay, two things. Number one, if you're going on vacation, just get rid of the Instagram app completely. Like, just get off social media. Unplug for vacation. You could do that instead of unfollowing the Bears. Or, number two, the big test will be when he's back from vacation. Does that mean he's going to follow the Bears again on Instagram in a week from now? Maybe 2 weeks from now, depending on how long vacation is? And if that's before we get to the free agency period or for a time where Justin Fields might get traded? Because if he does not refollow, then either this is the longest vacation ever, or that's not really the reason why. But I don't buy it. I think it's lame when athletes do this to begin with. I also think that excuse is not very good either from Justin Fields. I get not wanting to hear the constant back and forth about moving him out of Chicago, but I don't think the Bears are putting that stuff out there. Those are just fans. I hate the passive-aggressive move of unfollowing teams and teammates on social media nowadays. We'll wrap up the night next.
Broadcasting live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, it's Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow.
If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always go back, find the entire show on demand each and every night. Just search Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow all across Sports Map Radio. Or I should say, wherever you get your podcasts. It's been a long night. Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow, wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can find the entire show on demand each and every night. Hey, call this a tease, but tomorrow I might have to get into this new report of why things went wrong for the Eagles this year, and it might not be what you're expecting. We'll have to spend more time on that on the show tomorrow. Hey, by the way, before we get to the wrap and put a bow on things this evening, you know, I saw that we played the audio for Micah Parsons the other night here on the show, and Parsons you know, went on the Stephen A. Smith podcast over the weekend, and that's where some of the audio came from. I know Parsons also said, as we discussed Dak Prescott earlier becoming potentially the highest paid quarterback ever this offseason, because he does have the Cowboys stuck between a rock and a hard place. And Parsons did say that behind Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott is the number two quarterback or the second most feared quarterback, something crazy like that. But we also had the story of Micah Parsons crossing up Stephen A. Smith so bad in practice for the celebrity game that Stephen A. had to go to the hospital for some sort of ankle injury. And that just refreshed my memory. I forgot to mention this earlier in the week. But when I was a kid, I used to like to get autographs, and then I moved on to, you know, getting like photos with celebrities. But as a kid, I'm not some sort of autograph hound as an adult. I got into the sports industry. I worked alongside former professional athletes. It would be unprofessional to still be interested in autographs. But as a kid, you know, that was a cool thing. Anyways, at I think it was like a pro-am game in Connecticut, where I'm from originally. I went to this game with my father. We saw Manute Bol, who's from Connecticut, one of the tallest basketball players in the history of the NBA. We saw him pull up in the parking lot. And he was driving this tiny little car. I think it was a two-door. He was probably driving from the back seat. I don't know how he fit in this car. It's like one of those clown cars, except only one person was getting out, the 7'7 Manute Bol. And we're like, oh, there's Manute Bol. Crazy. And he walked into the gym, and he went, and he actually sat on the end of the bench for one of the teams. Like I said, I think it was a pro-am game. And so I went over there. I was just a kid. I was probably like 12 or 13 at the time, if I remember correctly. And so I went over to Mr. Bol. This was before the game started. And not to bother him, I just asked, hey, Manute Bol, mind if I get an autograph? He said, I can't sign. I have arthritis. I can't sign autographs. And I was a kid, but even I thought, like, that doesn't really add up. I just saw you drive a car here. If you could grip the steering wheel to drive here, I think you can hold a pen well enough to just sign your name quickly. But I wasn't going to argue with the guy, so I walked back to my seats, you know, my tail between my legs. Like, oh, I just got turned down by Manute Bol. And then fast forward the very next year, I'm watching that celebrity all-star game, and who's playing in the game? Manute Bol. So this guy was good enough to drive. His arthritis apparently wasn't that bad that he could actually go out there and play a basketball game. But God forbid he actually held a pen and signed an autograph for a young kid. Manute Bol. Unfortunately, I think he's passed away since. I think he was in a car accident right a few years ago, passed away. But that was my experience at Manute Bol. And I think of that every year at the All-Star break, we had these celebrity All-Star games. And I think of the time when Manute Bol would not sign for me. And then the very next year, I turn on the TV. He's on national TV playing basketball. He could do that, but he can't sign an autograph because of his arthritis. What is that? Hey, if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always go back, listen to everything on the podcast. But we always wrap things up each and every night with a series of questions. Charles will ask them. I try to answer them. We call it the wrap. And it's time now to put a wrap on the night. All right, what do we got?
All right, so since we were talking about Jason Tatum, he was calling himself the best player in the league, I'm going to run off some names to you, and you just tell me, who do you feel like would be the new face of the league after LeBron?
Okay.
All right. It's going to be a lot of names, so, you know, be ready.
Okay.
All right. Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Donovan Mitchell, Victor Wembanyama, Jalen Green, Alphonse Şengün, Pablo Banchero, Zion Williamson, LaMelo Ball. And this, for the sake of so many names, you could ask Anthony Edwards. I think we'll cut it short right there.
All right, that's the list. I jotted them all down. So, as I said earlier, I think international players have to be excluded. I don't know, maybe we're in a new era now where for the first time the face of the league could be an international player, but I just think...
I left out SGA. Wow.
Okay. So there's another one. Technically, he would be another one. I mean, from Canada, but I don't know if that's really a big enough difference when we talk about international players. And I think he would be a good candidate. So you know, so I think, like, Jokic, Giannis, I mean, maybe Giannis does have enough of a personality, and he's well-liked, and he's pretty funny, and he's got, a good personality. So maybe Giannis could be a guy that could be that first international player. Jokic is very kind of quiet, keeps to himself. He jokes around, but he's not a big personality. I mean, he talks about how he'd rather be with his horses, back home. He doesn't really – it's almost like this is a job for him as well. I don't think he wants to be a star. So anyways, my point being, I think automatically we have to exclude all international players. Now, maybe one of those will become the exception and become the first face of the league from another country, but I just think that there's a natural bias for in this country for guys that are born here. So cross out guys like Luka, Jokic, Giannis. The only exception maybe is Wembanyama because of how much of a unicorn he could be. That Wembanyama could be that guy to come into the NBA from another country and become the face of the league because he is so unique. Then when you look at the other names, Tatum's not there yet. I don't know if he's going to get there. I don't know if he's going to be a big enough star to really take over as the face of the league. I would say same for Devin Booker. And then as I look further down on the list, I probably put Donovan Mitchell in that category as well. Star, not a superstar. And I like Donovan Mitchell, and I would love to see him in New York with the Knicks. But I don't know if he can get to that next level of, the best of the best face of the league. And, like, therefore, an all-time great. I just don't know if that's the case. Zion, if he could stay healthy, we thought he might have been that guy coming into the league. But now that he hasn't been healthy, not so much. The two best candidates might be SGA. I don't know if people care that he's from Canada. Right? That is an international player, but that's kind of almost splitting hairs at that point. There's not a huge difference. I don't think that's as stark of a difference as a Jokic or Giannis or who am I missing? Luka, when you talk international players. So I would say SGA or maybe Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is a pretty good personality. I mean, he's already done movies. And then you had Kevin Garnett comparing him to a young Michael Jordan. Garnett said Anthony Edwards is like Jordan in the 80s, before Jordan was winning championships. And he said Anthony Edwards is just as athletic as Jordan, a great scorer and player, but hasn't had that. He's still too young. He hasn't had that ultimate team success of competing for championships just yet, although the Timberwolves are one of the better teams in the league this year. We'll see what they do in the playoffs. So I think Anthony Edwards maybe could be that guy. Minnesota's not a big market. Maybe he'd have to go somewhere else, or the Timberwolves would have to start becoming some sort of team that actually competes in the top of the Western Conference, and maybe this year is the start of that run, although I'm not so sure. But I would say those might be the two best candidates. They are two of the youngest guys on that list, and they are two guys that could be the stars in this league for years to come. I mean, SGA is already one of the top scorers in the league, and I don't think that's going to slow down, and they're having a really good year. So, if they start competing for championships, if these franchises do start competing for championships on a year-to-year basis, it could be one of those two guys. They're exciting players to watch. They're young. They're athletic. Edwards is from he's an American-born player. SGA is close enough, and right now they're the two best teams in the Western Conference as well. So, if one of those teams wins the West, that could be a good start. So of all those names, yeah, I'd say those two have the best chance probably.
All right. So for the remaining time, I'm going to list off quarterbacks. You tell me who's a $60 million guy and who's not. You just say yes or no.
Sounds good.
All right. Lamar Jackson.
I'm going to say no.
Josh Allen.
I will say no.
All right. Deshaun Watson.
He's going to be this year for a cap hit, but no, I'll say no at this point.
Jared Stidham or Russell Wilson?
No.
CJ Stroud?
Ooh, maybe not yet. I'll say not yet, but he could get there if he keeps progressing.
We'll give it a soft.
Yeah, you could count it, yeah.
Anthony Richardson?
No, not yet at least. I'll be honest. I don't know if anyone's a $60 million quarterback yet. Someone's going to become one. I think it's crazy the amount of money that we are paying these quarterbacks. Mahomes might be the only one that can make a case. Hey, life's a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Sports Map Tonight with Luke Morrow.